This is Phantom Electric Ghost, and we're live on the air with Erica Casey, Mindset Mentor, and we want to welcome you to the Phantom Electric Ghost podcast. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing amazing. How about yourself?
I'm doing great today, and want to let people also know that we are a featured podcast on the Newsly platform. That's an audio podcast platform. You can see that icon up there that says Listen on Newsly. For anybody listening or watching, if they use coupon code GHOST, they can check out that for free for 30 days. We will be on Newsly later tonight. We do have a couple of your links up. We have this one link here, thelinkmate.one/link/Erica Grace. And then we also have your Instagram. And let me get that one up because I just had it. Here we go. Yeah, so we have your Instagram too. So you can check that out. These will be fully clickable when we're published, so people won't have to worry about trying to remember them. And then today we're going to talk about, this topic is the topic for today's podcast, is adaptability spotlight, navigating setbacks and moving forward. So before we get into that, some of the new questions we like to ask people just to get the story started, like what motivates you and why do you do what you do?
So I don't know if I'd say it's necessarily motivation. I've just always been inspired to help people. And quickly on that, I like to point out, because we're not always motivated to do things in life, but I think if people are inspired to do something, you're going to do the things that you think you can't do. You're going to do the things that, you don't feel like doing because you know it's going to add up to be to your greater picture, your greater goal. So for me personally, I've always been a little bit of my backstory is I'm on my journey to becoming a doctor. I was in the U.S. Navy for almost 8 years. But before that, I just always knew I wanted to help people. I've been fascinated with medicine, how the human body works, specifically with how the mind works. So just being a non-traditional student is what they call someone, you know, who outside of just going to high school straight into the pipeline for medicine. I've had a lot of experiences and a lot of challenges between the military, transitioning from the military, that I really had to stand on my mindset to help me get through the situations. And I realized that the mind's a lot more powerful than I ever realized, even wanting to go into neurology. And if I can help even just one person understand that you can shape the life around you with how your mindset is, and it can really affect you in a positive or a negative way, whichever you choose, that for me is my goal. Just wanting to help people, share with them, show with them how they can change their life. And it stems even bigger than that with medicine, that life choices, your daily choices can add up, and hopefully not wait until somebody is sick and then in my office and having to treat them in that aspect, trying to start with the person first and understanding you do have control over a lot of things that happen in your life when it comes to medicine and preventing things from going down, you know, for becoming sick and diseased and all of that.
Yeah, that's an interesting place to start, because I think a lot of people, you know, they think maybe there's like external forces and they don't realize how much control they have over their life, because they kind of think, well, you know, I'm at the hands of fate. I really, you know, I'm going to make hell to give it a bad deck. And then they don't realize there's a lot of things that you can change. I'm a cancer survivor myself, age 27, and I'm 56. And it really changed my mindset.
Yeah.
When I survived it, I started to do things that I thought were impossible prior to that.
Right.
And you hate to have something like a cancer do it. Like you said, it's like, it shouldn't be cancer that does it. So you should, you know, I had that big thing happen to me, but like if, you know, going to therapy when I was 27 or something, maybe I would have, you know, seen something at 26 before that cancer happened. But if, you know, that's what's interesting, what you do. And so your journey involves academia, but you had also had a personal loss. Maybe you can talk about the pivotal moment that you faced challenges and how it shaped your life. Like, maybe you want to talk about that, your story there.
Sure, of course. So like I mentioned, so in the Navy, transitioning out, originally my plan, I was going to go to apply for medical school and do that entire thing. But I didn't, and I'm very blessed that I didn't. Instead, I ended up taking care of my elderly father. He had stage 4 cancer. He also had Alzheimer's disease, which I always say is ironic just because I want to be a neurologist, you know, and looking at it from that lens to really hone in again on things I believe happen to us for a reason. Like you mentioned, sometimes it stinks. You don't want to learn lessons or learn things the hard way. And I for sure never would have asked for anyone in my immediate family to have a terrible disease for me to learn from. But it did teach me a lot moving forward that I already know, and had to deal with somebody so close like my father with the disease. Mm-hmm. And just the mindset of, I mean, it was years of the day in, the day out, and taking care of him from the cancer side of the house. He had, hopefully this isn't too graphic for your audience, I'll keep it mellow, but he had like an actual wound from the cancer. It was on the outside and the inside of his skin that I had to take care of. So physically seeing it every day and dealing with it, but then the mental side of him just slowly deteriorating it away. So like, that's a lot for a person to deal with. And I had to really rely on my mindset and be strong to be like, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's something I can learn from this. There's something I can share with other people that are going through this, or maybe not even this exact situation, but anyone who's had to care for a loved one, or even if you just are having, you know, like you mentioned, a bad day, trying to turn it around and looking to other positive things in your life, looking about how you can maybe be an inspiration to other people. Because if I found too, which I think a lot of people can resonate with, when you have those bad days, you start your morning off maybe on the wrong foot. If you don't turn it around and try to find the positive, pause for a moment, be grateful that you have a roof over your head, you have food in your house, things start to spiral and more bad things start to happen. And it feels like there's that person who's against you, you know, you have that bad luck charm on your shoulder. And it's really not that. Our mind is just looking for more of the same. So when we start to look for more of the same bad things in our day, we'll start to get more of that. So for me, like I said, I took care of my elderly father until the end of his life. And it was just really eye-opening. It hasn't changed my mind on where I want to go with my journey, but it just gave me more conviction that I want to share with people that how you frame your mindset really does make a difference, because that could have been a breaking point. For I know a lot of people that I talk to who are in similar situations in life, taking care of an elderly parent or taking care of a loved one or a sick child. And sometimes it's just very overwhelming that you feel like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I try to share with people that your mindset really does matter around it, that you need to hold on and you're doing an amazing job, and to not just be so overtaken with the sadness of the situation, but try to make the most of that. You're doing an amazing job, and to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, I think my mindset is so important. And one of the things, you know, as a creative person, that if you, a lot of times people want to be perfect, and that's always right. Like, then it's like, so, well, if I want to be a writer, but I want to be like, could I ever be Hemingway? Could I ever be Shakespeare? Like, well, if I can't, then I shouldn't do it. And I always have been the kind of person that kind of pushed people, you know, as a producer, is like, just because you're not, you know, Bob Dylan, you're not Taylor Swift, doesn't mean you shouldn't sing, doesn't mean you shouldn't write, because you have a voice. Exactly. And a lot of times in the nature of the world is like, people want to clone what already exists. Mm-hmm. But I think what's really important is people's individuality and their own, you know, vulnerability. And yep. And their actor, you know, that's the human characteristics that make you, you know, worthwhile. That's what makes, you know, every day important. Because when I talk to people on the podcast, it's like everybody's an individual. They have a different world point of view.
Right.
If everybody was just saying the same thing to try to get views, you know, that's boring. Exactly. I'd rather hear somebody's own, the lessons learned that they have had. Like if everything is perfect, things don't change. You have to go through issues. You have to have lessons learned. You have to go through, you know, you live through the mistakes. I call them happy accidents. Mm-hmm. Because like if you sometimes have a path and then it deviates because like, you know, the universe gives you something.
Yep.
And then you go with it. and because you don't just stop, you go with like this flow state. So maybe that's like the mindset, like I've kind of adopted as a flow state mindset, but maybe you can talk about like people with the different mindsets and, you know, from a neurological point of view, since you're studying that, like how is like if somebody who has a very narrow point of view versus somebody who has a more like holistic or expansive point of view.
Sure. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a growth versus a non-growth mindset is how I would categorize that. So like a growth mindset is somebody, like you said, that who you yourself, it sounds like, that you're willing to look at new ideas. You're looking to look at things and say, you know what, today didn't go the way I wanted, but you know what, there's a lesson to learn from it, or tomorrow is going to be a better day. And there's a lot of power in that, that like you mentioned, in encouraging people to, you know, get up, sing. Maybe you're not going to be exactly like Taylor Swift. Maybe you're going to be better than Taylor Swift, or maybe you won't be better than Taylor Swift, but there's a lot of other artists that are still famous, popular, having amazing lives that are not on her caliber. And that's okay. We're not all meant to be, like you said, the exact same person. And there's power in the uniqueness that we each have our own story to tell. I was listening, I do a lot of course personal development and mental mindset, a book called 10X is easier than 2X. And it was talking about the story of Michelangelo and how for him, I mean, no one at his time had done anything he had done with the sculptures, nothing that was so realistic to embody the human body when it came down to muscles in a person's face. So figure he didn't even have a benchmark of anyone else to go off of. He was just doing what he was inspired to do himself, that he really wanted to do it. And I would say that that's the most powerful thing for anyone to do. But I think what you're maybe getting at a little bit is today, in today's world, I think we're a little bit more shy because we have social media and so many people can say so many things instantaneously. Yeah. And to not think about that, that none of that matters. There's always going to be voices and critics. And that's the other side of the people who don't have a growth mindset. And those are the people that, and you can change this, by the way. So when I say this, don't anybody think at home if you fall into a category of like, oh no, I'm like a non-growth mindset. Like I'm like the I have a worse hand in life again, right? No, you can change it. Again, you have the choice. And a non-growth mindset would be a person that you look at a situation and you just think it's fixed. You think that, oh no, today is, I'm trying to think of an example. Oh, today the Starbucks I normally go to is closed down. Oh no, I can't get my coffee for today. Instead of it's like, no, at least here being in Boston, it's like I can go, you know, a block or two up the road and there's another Starbucks. Yeah, yeah, I can just go to another one. I can find a different coffee shop. There's probably a Dunkin's across the street, right? Something, maybe a different coffee shop. But just because that one opportunity that I'm so used to is closed does not mean I can't still get the result I want, which is a coffee for the morning. And that's a person who has a fixed mindset that it's not a growth mindset. But like I said, you can shift it. You can become a growth mindset and look at it as a positive instead of not doing it. And those are the people I think that too are the ones that you get a little bit afraid of taking the chance. And, you know, like you said, I'm not going to measure up to be Taylor Swift. I'm not going to measure up to be this. And like you have to look at it, that that's okay, because maybe you're not meant to be Taylor Swift. Like I said, you could be greater, maybe not, but you're still going to fall amongst the other celebrities and people. So.
Yeah. One of the Victorian poets, because I'm really into poetry, is William Blake, right? And William Blake, everybody knows him today. In his time, nobody knew him. He was not known in his time.
Exactly.
They found his work because he had the presence of mind to put it on plates. He etched everything, all the poems from the Songs of Innocence and Experience are etched like an acid on metal plates. And there's artwork that goes with them. And there's a lot of people who don't know the art that goes with those poems.
Yeah, I didn't know there was art that went with it. That's amazing.
Yeah, there's actually artwork. And if you go look for it in a library or bookstore, you can find like the original pieces there. Like, it's like an art book. You can see the art that goes with each poem. And so it's a full experience. But he had like the presence of mind to try to make it eternal, even though he wasn't able to market himself.
Yep.
He knew it was important enough to put down. And I think that's the kind of mindset, like even though he didn't know how to market, he put it down and it became famous after his death. But like, you know, but that's a future generation passing it down. He thought it was that important. So like your work, like if you put it down, you have no idea what the law of attraction, what's going to happen. Because even if you don't get 1,000,000,000 views or whatever, if a certain group of people find your work, you could get opportunities, even though you don't have metrics that look like you're a big success. Exactly. So that's where a lot of people get the misconception in this kind of digital age that if I don't get into the algorithm, I'm done. That's not necessarily true.
Agreed. Yeah, and quickly on that, people for your audience have to remember that sometimes, sadly, people online who seem like they have a lot of people, you have to remember that's not always the case. That sadly, we live in a world that I can't even fathom this, but you can buy followers, you can do all of these things. And even if you have, say, 1,000,000 followers, if you're not actually impacting them, like you said, that for generations to come, maybe only, you know, 100,000 out of 1,000,000 of your followers actually are impacted by your work, is that still the same benefit as only maybe having 150,000 followers, but you're impacting 100,000 of them? I mean, the numbers are just hugely different. Yeah. And it's not about the number of people you have following and all of that.
It's like the law of attraction, I always try to say, because it's like you, a lot of times, if you make the decision to be, have your voice heard, you'll have people fall off. Right, there'll be friends that don't want to talk to you, or other people. You lose people, but you gain people. You gain other people, and so some people get so scared of what they might lose rather than what they gain. And I think that is like the mindset again. It's like the person who's scared raised their hand in class because they're scared of what the whole class is going to think if they get the wrong answer, rather than the person that said, "Well, I don't care. I'm just going to try because I you know." Why not? I'm in school, I'm learning. So if I make a mistake, what's the problem? I'm a student.
Exactly. No, I do love that point. I could harp on that one too. I think we've had a problem with people being afraid, like you said, to just throw out an answer, even if you're wrong. It's like you're learning. It's okay to be, you should be wrong, right? This is the time to be wrong instead of later on in time. You know, it's why we do that. That really should be the reason why we do things like tests and quizzes and all of that. It's not to shame a person. It's so you learn to make sure that you know the information. It's the opportunity to fix the shortcomings, you know, instead of moving forward thinking the wrong answer is the right answer.
Yeah, the shaming is so bad sometimes in society because it seems like there's like a bullying. That you know, even it might come from your classmates, it might come from the teacher, because the teacher has the attitude where he doesn't make the class feel like you can actually respond unless it's the right answer, even though the person might not say that, but you get the feeling that you're going to get put on, you're going to get the scarlet A on you, you're going to get the scarlet letter if you say the wrong thing. So then that doesn't encourage debate, right? And the whole thing with life is like, to me, the oral history of human beings, like being able to go into a situation to talk through something with a conversation, and that's how you learn. Right. But if you aren't able to participate, or you're just told to parrot and not actually have a real conversation that's give and take, well, how are you going to move forward?
Exactly. I think quickly on that too, that there's a lot of power in understanding having your own thoughts and opinions, even if they're crazy. You know, it's like I've had some very silly conversations when I was friends with overseas that are just off the wall and gotten some sideways looks. Like I remember when I was in Denmark, I don't know if you've ever been to Denmark, but in Copenhagen, like there are more bikes on the road than there are cars. And it was like a little scary for me driving a car. Yeah, I was like, I don't want to hit a bicyclist, but they had their own lane. It was it was impressive, but a little bit like, whoa. And I was like, well, like, what are the rules? Do you get like a lot of bikes that get speeding tickets here? And just silly questions of like, can you go that fast on a bicycle? And I remember the people I was working with laughed alone. Like, are these real questions? I was like, I don't know. I don't even know the right questions to ask, but I'm fascinated by this. And like, Do you actually hold them accountable? Do you not? I was like, I just wanted to learn more about this situation because I've never come across it anywhere else in the world. And, you know, I think a lot of my friends that I worked with laughed at me, which was fine because I can handle it because I don't take it personally, which is where I'm going with this, that you have to ask the question sometimes if you're curious and not be afraid of, yeah, maybe it was a silly question, but I just wanted to learn more about the situation. And I did, and it like we guided to like better questions and all of that. But a lot of the times people take it personally that if someone laughed, you know, can you get a speeding ticket on a bicycle? People laughed. I laughed at myself, but people take it personally, internalize it, and their feelings hurt, and it becomes an emotional thing. And it shouldn't be an emotional thing. It should be, I'm just trying to learn. It's nothing. It's personal. It is a funny question to ask. It's not a thought process that you would normally think, can you get a speeding ticket on a bicycle? But the only way to learn is encouraging that instead of the shaming thing and all of that. And it just comes down to mindset and having a conversation and be able to go back and forth vice making it an emotional decision on how you feel about something. Whether you feel passionately about it or not, there should just still be information around it. Instead of feelings.
Yeah, it's like the idea of music, there's no bad note, which is like there's a lot of, you know, jazz musicians that will kind of try to teach, you know, young musicians, like you can respond to the so-called bad note. If you're a fusion jazz musician, you can actually take the song to a different level. Like, so instead of stopping the song and say, I hit the wrong note, you can actually evolve the song and change it. And it's a different mindset versus like maybe like a classical mindset. Well, I got to stay within Chopin. And if I hit the wrong note, I got to start all over. Where here is like, this is the evolving piece of work. And if I hit a note that wasn't expected, I could go in a different direction. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to stay in the canon. You can change it. And that's not always the case in a lot of things. Because people like, you know, you were talking about Michelangelo. It's like he's doing something that wasn't in the canon of what was considered like real art for his time. So if you get on that bleeding edge, you get all these haters. You say, well, that's not art. You know, you shouldn't do that. You know, so it's like the person's people who are willing to push like the, you know, pioneers in whatever field, they're going to get resistance and you take it personal. Like, and even if you're like somebody, you know, like I do software design for a job, and I'm a consultant. I have to come in and look at old systems.
Okay.
And I run into these guys that built the system, and I've been told that we need to change the system. And when I started talking about like how we have to change it, they take it personal because they like feel like that system was like theirs, their baby. And if I'm trying to change it, I'm attacking them. And I run into this with like some men, like older men. They built this stuff back in the 70s or 60s, and I had to figure out a way to do this because this is my job without getting into this conflict. Because it's like when I was younger, I'd get into the conflict because I would just go straight at it and say, well, you know, we need to change this, and it would make them, it would offend them.
Yep.
And so I need to come at this so I don't offend them,
right?
And so over time, I figured out a way to do it without like directly hitting their ego. But like that's a lesson learned for me. But like, you know, it's just, how do you approach people to make them feel like you're not trying to tear them down?
Right.
By asking
a question. Exactly. And it's hard because like you said, I think it starts sadly with school sometimes that we get afraid even in the classroom to ask those questions. Because as children, we all like kind of chuckle sometimes if we don't have the same thought process and the mindset of like, is that even a valid question? I didn't even think of that. And then people start to, if you don't feel comfortable with, or even just reinforced with, no, it's okay. You can ask a question. That the old saying of like, there's no dumb or question to ask, then people start to hold the questions inside and then think like, oh, if the people are questioning what I'm doing, then it must be me. When it's like, it's not you. We're trying to expand. Yeah, we're trying to look at the situation. You have to take a step back from it.
Because people start challenging, like, should you even be in the classroom? Mm-hmm. That's why I think starts to happen. People, like, if you ask that question, you shouldn't even be here because you don't have the base level. And then that's the shaming. like, why do we, and I, it's human nature to try to kind of step over people, to try to push yourself into a better position. Say, well, I'm better.
Yep.
I'm smarter. I'm prettier. I'm this. I'm like, there's all these things they try to push other people down because you have a deficiency. So you need to push other people down to make yourself feel better. And it's kind of basic, but like, it's hard. How do you get beyond that kind of selfish thing to be more empathetic? You know, how do you teach people like a certain level of empathy to not shame people, you know, yeah, and to encourage like an open discussion?
Yeah. I mean, the empathy aspect's a little bit more challenging to teach people. It, I mean, that goes to a root core of who we are. It needs to be taught from a younger age to just encourage people to be like you said, if there's something that someone else is doing that bothers you, it's probably a reflection of a shortcoming in you or something that you yourself are very uncomfortable with, that you probably had a similar question and it makes you uncomfortable because you see yourself in that other person. You're like, oh, that could be me, that should be me asking that question, but I'm not. And the best thing to do, and it takes practice, like I said, coming from a younger age, it takes outside perspectives of other people encouraging and saying, no, this is okay, like, that was a great question, you know, keep going down this rabbit hole, or let's reframe the question, right? It was a good starting point, but you know, let's like keep going further with this instead of just shutting it down and saying, no, that was a silly question to ask. But as we get older, people need to understand and take a step back and look at, nobody's perfect, and to look inside and just want the best for the person and to understand, what is this person really trying to go after? What are they trying to ask? And understanding that it is, it's not personal, and it's not, I apologize for a second. I lost my train of thought. That is okay. To take a step back from the situation.
Yeah. I think that goes into like the diversity mindset. Cause like sometimes people come from a place that doesn't have diverse mindsets. So if you're kind of growing up in a community where like things are kind of in a narrow lane, and you don't really have anybody challenging that, and as soon as somebody comes and starts to challenge like the canon of that type of social behavior, because I was a sociology major, and okay, you get a lot of people that you get affected by and they get, you know, the microcosm and the macrocosm, and you get these ideas like, well, you know, on the microcosm level, like I was taught a certain thing, and then I'm living in the macrocosm, and like I don't appreciate if anybody deviates from my kind of narrow mindset, because that's because right, like I was taught at an individual level that this is the truth, right, and anybody else, you know, it really might just be a belief, but I've been told that it's a truth.
Exactly.
So then I can't get out of that until like there's some kind of crucible moment where I realize that's not necessarily true.
Yep. And it's funny because like you said, with beliefs, and I mean, this hopefully won't go down a rabbit hole unless you want to, it's fascinating with how the conscious and subconscious mind works, because your subconscious mind does not know the difference when it comes to beliefs of something that's true or not true. So we can program our brains really to believe whatever we want. And it's a terrible, but a great example is, for example, in World War II with Hitler, and everybody believing he was, not everybody, but a lot of people buying into what he was doing and believing it was the right thing to do. They heard it so many times over and over and over and over and over again that they believed it to be the truth, even though collectively, I would say as a species, as humans, we would all agree it was a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Right. But when you hear something over and over and over again, no matter what it is, your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference. It's going to believe whatever you tell it, good or bad. And that's why on the conscious mind level, I always tell people it's very important to be aware of what you're feeding your mind, because you have the choice to reject or accept something. And it really just depends on what it is you're putting into your thought process, right? Again, it goes back to, are you feeding yourself things all the time that are telling you that the world is terrible, you can't break out of your daily life habits, you're stuck where you are, all of this? Or are you listening to things that are telling you, like, no, if you want to go change jobs, there's more opportunities. Maybe you're going to have to like go get a new skill set or do this or do that. But it depends what you're feeding your conscious mind and going into your subconscious mind that you're going to believe that, even if maybe collectively we'd say it's a lie, like maybe we're going to say the sky is purple. If you keep saying it over and over and over again, you can really program your mind to go whichever way you want. It's very powerful.
It's very powerful. And you get to see it, the dynamics with groups where you can get like the social thinking. It's kind of like, you know, Orwell's 1984. It's like, the different types of speaking, where you can, you could just put this kind of thing coming from like a dictator type of mindset, like you're talking about Hitler. But we've seen it in human history, like Rwanda, like Uganda. It's like there's all kinds of situations where people were told something and then they behaved in a way, and it's like, wow. You would think as a human being, you would know that's not right. But just because somebody in power and their apparatus tells you that that sky is purple and blue, but you believe it's purple and you can't shake it, and it's almost like you're in a trance. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's not just one person in a trance, you can get multiple people into that trance and get the crowd behavior, like, you know, the crowd behavior of the riot. We used to study the riot in sociology. Is that, how is it that all these people that came to this thing were peaceful, and then certain people start throwing bricks, throwing rocks, breaking glass, and then they give permission through this kind of behavioral, and then suddenly other people who had no intention of doing that start doing it, and you're like, wow, like you can be led in that way, and it goes to different degrees of how far you could go, and you're like, wow. And so the mindset of like, can you as a human being get control of yourself? So if you end up in that right, that you're the person that pulls back, you're the person that says, well, no, I don't think that makes sense, I'm not doing that. So how do you get yourself to be the type of person that doesn't get led that way?
I would say that you have to have a really, really, you need to constantly be working on, like I just mentioned, like what you're feeding yourself with your mindset and just understanding who you are and your personal values. From looking at different studies and things, it's, like I said, what if you feed yourself these things all the time that, like, you know, I'm not saying don't watch movies, but sometimes in movies you see these things where it escalates. It goes from 0 to 100. And you know, you see the person, you think he's the good guy or something, but maybe he's really the villain. We secretly know the audience behind the scenes. When you're in these situations, our mind will go back to those things that we've been seeing and perceiving and say, oh, okay, yeah, no, I know I'm on the right side, our group's on the right side, so this must be a justified escalation. Like, let's keep moving forward. And you almost go into just like a herd mentality of just joining in, not really consciously thinking, because on your subconscious mind, it's already been watching and saying, like, oh, this is what you do next. And when I say the subconscious mind, it's things that, again, like, think about driving. It's just such a habit. You do it without thinking. There's all these things that our mind is constantly picking up on, that we don't even realize it, that we're training it. Our mind loves to think. The brain loves puzzles. I think one of the best ways I love describing it to people is, when you go through your day, consciously think how many stories you tell yourself. Because you'll tell yourself stories all day long. You'll walk yourself through the grocery store. When I go to the grocery store, I need to get eggs and milk or bread or whatnot, and you'll do it like 30-40, you'll just do it over and over again. Your brain loves stories. So when it comes to these situations, when you're watching things or reading things, be aware of how you're bringing in the information. And it may sound crazy, but I promise you it's not. I actually read a study on this yesterday. How you tell yourself in the situation or think through, if if you're reading a book or watching something that has escalation of the situation, start to think outside the box of like, well, what else was going on here? Would I have done the same thing? And I know for a lot of people, it's very foreign to them. They may sound like a lot of work, but if you can start to train yourself to think, so in a moment you pause for even a second to say, like you said, wait a minute, who threw the brick? Why are we throwing bricks? Do I want to throw a brick? Should I be doing this now? I thought we were just here chanting words and now we're throwing bricks and people are shoving each other. Should I be in this situation instead of getting emotionally drawn in and just riding the emotion of the situation? The best way to do it is just to daily start to be more present and cognizant of what you're thinking and what you're allowing into your mind. It's not going to happen overnight, but if you keep doing it, you're going to get better at it. You're going to be able to pause in a moment, maybe pause even in a moment. I love giving an example here in the city of someone cutting you off. It's very easy to get very angry very quickly.
Goes 0 to 100. You go 0 to 100 right there. Yeah, some people just go boom. They get out the car.
Oh,
they start yelling. They go do this. Other people are like, wait, that's against the law. I shouldn't do that. You know, that's a minor conflict. That's his problem. It's not my problem. Yeah. You know, but it's a different mindset. Like you said, if you've been programmed to kind of like from a young age, kind of go off the handle because you saw your dad go off the handle or your mom or your grandma go off the handle. And nobody ever told you that wasn't right. They told you, well, that's what I see. So you get programmed and say, well, that's the way I should respond, rather than maybe you have a choice. Like if you have the kind of artist mind, you got like, well, I got 5 different ways I could do this, 10 different ways I could do it. Or you have this other mindset where there's only one way to do it.
Right.
So if you get into this thing where you're feeling like, well, there's only one way to do this, one way to do that, then you're like, oh, I got kind of a limiting belief here.
Yep, exactly.
So you think like when people get older, they start to, there's a mindset where some people are like, I can't change because I've been doing this for like the last 60 years. But I've run into a lot of people on my podcast, they're actually later in life, they're making big changes, which is maybe not the normal process, but like a lot of the people who come on the show are people who are older that finally kind of are going with a dream they had or doing something that people told them they shouldn't do. And they're just loving it. And like, I know there was a question about like, in terms of like how, you know, if you're trying to pursue those dreams and you're older in life, how do you kind of, you know, foster that other than maybe just have that unique capability?
I would say just go all in. I think when we're younger, we highly, highly underestimate how much time we actually have. And even though I don't think we have necessarily a ton of time, but we look at things and again, it just is, I think with society that we're taught like, all right, you go to school, you go to college, you get a job. And like, there's these certain milestones that you have to do for life. And we get so caught up in it that we don't think, what do I really want to do? What do I really want to pursue in life? And as people get older, finally realize like time is finite and I'm running out of time. And I really want to make an impact. I really want to do something that makes me happy. I really want to do whatever it is. Maybe it's write a book, you know, maybe it's just, I'm trying to think of like a secondary, maybe it's become a doctor. I mean, I know a lady who just turned 50 and she's in medical school now, a friend of mine. And it's crazy for so many people to wrap your mind around it, be like, oh my goodness, by the time you graduate, exactly, by the time you graduate, you have residency, pending upon specialty, you know, maybe a fellowship. And it's like, you might be, you know, you're late 50s by the time you're a practicing doctor. But she really wanted to be a doctor and wished she did it younger and finally decided to pull the trigger now and do it. And I would say that there is no standard in how you live your life. You never know how much time you're going to have. And to make it easier, like I said, it's just to go all in, to bet on yourself. If it's something that you feel I truly believe this. If it's something that's in your heart that you truly feel you're called to do, then things are going to start to work out for you if you just start giving your all and heading in that direction. You said the singer, the person taking a chance on themselves. If you are meant to do it, maybe the vision's not going to be exactly the way you see it in your head, but I believe things will work out. And the only other thing I would say is when it comes to it is just not caring what other people think again and not taking things personally. You know, like you said, everyone told her, don't do it, you're silly, whatnot. And if she took it personally and emotionally, maybe that would have held her back. But the biggest hold back that I would say is I look at things with the perspective, especially having experienced my father passing, you know, when I'm in his situation at the end of my life, do I really want to look back and say, man, I really wished I did not care what other people thought. And I just went after whatever made me happy. Like you mentioned earlier, sure, when you grow, you know, I hate to say sadly, but it's just part of the situation. You're probably going to lose some friends along the way. But I will look to the positive side of the mindset that you're going to make new friends that are on the same journey. They're going to encourage you, who are going to empower you because they have a similar thought process of like, yeah, let's go, like give it everything you've got, like, and going after it. So that's again, the two sides of it. You can try to hold on to what you've had in the past, but I believe that things sometimes just serve you for that point in life that you needed them. And then some, you have to let go of it to open up new opportunities in your life. And I promise you new opportunities will come. You just have to be willing to go out there, look for them and go after it.
Yeah. You just can't look at the closed doors. You got to look at all the open doors.
Right.
Because now you're going in, it's like, yeah. Some of these doors closed, but there's a bunch of them that are open. And the thing is, like, you think about life, like a life expectancy, you know, was going up and then things changed, but still, like, at 50, you could maybe doing this till you're like 80 years old. You could be, you know, really active. If you stayed healthy, you probably could still be doing the job. So just because you start something, there are a lot of musicians that started at like 50. Yeah. I mean, you know, the game is supposed to be a young person's game, but like in jazz, you could be like any age, right? And in blues, you could be like any age. So if you're good, you could be playing another 30 years. And people would say, well, you're all done. Like a certain genre, maybe you're done because they expect that genre to be like EDM. You're young, right? You're supposed to be this young kind of mindset. But blues and jazz, you know, the classical music, you could be playing that till you can't. So why not? So it is a mindset. Like if you enjoy doing what you do and you love it and you have a passion, you shouldn't let anybody take your passion away. And if you love painting, and, you know, maybe you're not going to be a gallery painter, but you love to do it. It's part of your, like, it's a therapeutic process for you. It helps you solve issues. It doesn't matter if everybody likes it. Like, you, it's helping you.
And like you said, you never know. Maybe right now, this generation, this time period of people just aren't meant to appreciate what you've created. Maybe it's going to come after you've passed. And I look at it that way. That you never know then too, who you're going to inspire later on down the line, right? I think, I'm guilty of it. I have to step back sometimes that a lot of the times we want to see what we've created. We want to see the ripple effects. And we have to accept that we're not going to see all of the ripple effects for all of civilization. That's just the reality of, you know, the truth of the matter. People that, you know, created aqueducts and whatnot, you know, I don't even know when they're hundreds, thousands during the Roman Empire and whatnot. They had no idea it would progress to pipes and houses, let alone imagining a house and just how things have transpired forward, that we want to see and be like, oh my goodness, I played a role in that. And we're not always going to see that. So like you mentioned, you just have to be happy with, like, if this makes me happy, this is my passion, this inspires me in life and gives me a smile on my face, then that's what you have to do. And maybe you'll get to see some of it and see some of the benefits of it inspiring other people. But I would take comfort in knowing that maybe not today, but maybe in the future, maybe, you know, 50 years, 100 years from now, it will help inspire other people and create and just be an inspiration for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important. Like the mindset is so important, and the neurology behind it. Like a lot of people, maybe they can't get their head around the complexity of the human mind or what's going on. But at the end of the day, like you could, like what, like maybe you could take like three key points in neurology that you've learned that maybe are translatable beyond like the science. Are there any kind of key points that you learned that you found or like, wow, this is something I didn't know? And something I think would help people.
Sure. So I'll go circle back to one thing we've already talked about, that you really are never too old to learn a new skill set. Will it be more challenging? Sure, right? The science behind that, like for example, learning a language, if you have a child and you know you're a multilingual household or you want your child to learn another language, it is a lot easier for your brain to do it when we're younger, when it's still forming. But that doesn't mean if you're 60 and you want to learn another language that the door's closed forever and you can't learn it. You can still do it. You're just gonna have to put in more work than a 5-year-old. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. It's just that your brain is older, so it takes a little bit longer to build the connections to learn that language. But you can 100% do it. You can speed up the process, as I mentioned, like a multilingual household. And maybe travel and go to the place you want to learn the language and immerse yourself in it. That's an even faster way to learn it than just reading it or trying to take courses online. So that's the thing. If you want to learn something new, it doesn't have to be language. It can be any skill set. That the old thought process of you're too old to learn it or you can't learn or change the habits. I'll segue that into the second one. You can change any habit that you have. But you have to start to be aware of it. And habits are just patterns. Like I mentioned earlier, repetition is huge when it comes to anything. And like I mentioned earlier, maybe you have a fixed mindset. You're listening to this and you're like, oh, I would love to have a positive outlook and a growth mindset of, you know, recognizing when my coffee shop's closed, there's one across the street and it's not the end of the world, right? It just takes doing it over and over again, catching yourself and setting up the new patterns. This time of year, I love it, and I try to talk more about the habit aspect because so many people are trying to foster new habits and fail. And the reason they fail is because a lot of people don't understand that, you know, day one you wake up, you may fail, but you need to look at it, be like, all right, tomorrow I can do better. Why did I fail? You know, quickly I'll go off on the gym, for example. A lot of people want to go to the gym and get fit. It's like, well, some of the best things you can do to enforce those habits are you need to take down barriers, right? So if you know on your way home from work, you drive right by the gym, well, then your gym bag needs to be in the car. You need to like already be ready to rock and roll. And the only other thing is you need to pull into that parking lot. And then, you know, even then, sometimes people are like, well, yeah, you gotta just show up, right? But if you have barriers in the way that you don't even have the gym bag in the car, so you got to go home. By the time you get home, you're like, oh, I'll just sit on the couch for 5 minutes. And then 5 minutes turns into an hour. And then you're like, it's too late. I got to make dinner for the family. And this, you're sabotaging yourself. That start taking those barriers away, help fostering the new habits, and be kind to yourself. If you fail one day, it doesn't mean you failed the goal for the whole year. You just need to, okay, what can I do to do it tomorrow? And then the only other thing I would say when it comes to your mindset and just a tip that people think about, that you really, again, have power in what you tell yourself. I actually, there's a cool study I saw from the National Library of Medicine. I like to go in there and like just read studies. No surprising. That stuff really excites me. Most people I know, they're like, that is boring to read. They had a really funny, not funny, it was an interesting graphic, but it was a cartoon, so it was funny in that aspect of they studied how people perceive what you tell yourself in regards to pain, and it correlated to anything else in life. That if you tell yourself this hurts, vice someone else, an outside person telling you that should hurt, vice you telling yourself this wasn't that bad, it didn't hurt that bad, it actually translated for how the person felt pain, which was fascinating. So I say that to encourage you that what you tell yourself and how you perceive things and what you allow others to tell you really does affect you and can affect you. And I'm sure people can think of examples, you know, well, a little kid falls down, scrapes their knee, and what do a lot of us say? You're like, oh no, it doesn't hurt, brush it off, keep going. And then a lot of the times the kid's like, oh yeah, it wasn't that bad, keep going, even though their knee is bleeding, right? They're encouraged to keep going. And that's what you need to do with your own life. You need to do with people around you. Obviously, I say that I'll caveat within reason, you know, if it's like a serious injury, don't, you know, downplay it, seek medical help or something. But we do that so often. And just to remind you that you can do that even in your daily life. You know, I'll quickly segue back to the gym just because it's, you know, this time of the year that, you know, maybe when you're trying to break that new habit, your brain is going to start to tell you and scream at you that this is painful, this is new, we should stop. We shouldn't be doing this because you haven't done it before. But you can override those thoughts yourself and say, no, I've got this. Like, this is going to be amazing. This is good for me. Think about how, I don't know, whatever motivates you, whatever your goals you're moving towards. Think about how amazing I'm going to look by the time the summer comes here. I'm going to look better than my sister or my brother or something like that. Whatever encourages you, right? People love competition to keep going. And it really will make a difference. It really will make a difference in the results that you get and how much further you can go by having that kind of mindset in those situations.
Yeah, I think it's important to like kind of like put yourself if you put yourself into a foreign country, like I lived in Japan for 2 years. And when I was dropped in there, I had to learn how to talk to a taxi driver because I was there. Yep. And if I wanted to use the taxi, I better learn how to do it, right? Yep. So I better learn how to say in Japanese where I want to go. If I go to the grocery store and want to ask, you know, some questions, like I had to learn how to ask those questions. And it really, if you drop yourself into the situation, like if you want to play guitar, where you drop yourself into a situation where you're with people playing guitar. Mm-hmm. And if you keep on going and you keep on doing it, you'll learn it. You'll make mistakes. Anything you learn is like you jump in the swimming pool, you eventually learn how to swim because you're in it.
Yep.
You end up having this thing where you have to, your brain kind of figures out with your body, you figure out how to get that synergy with your mind and your thought and your body. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is your head. Like a lot of times, like you can say, well, I can't ride a bike. So you keep on falling off the bike. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start to like, whoa, this isn't so hard. Then you actually don't fall off the bike.
Yeah, it's true. Or you start to learn, like our brains, I mean, you know this, that our brains will start to adapt to be like, oh, okay, I leaned too far to the right and I fell over. Let me not lean as far to the right and see what happens. It's a trial and error. And we're always learning, like, okay, that didn't work. Let's do it this way. But you got to be not afraid, going back to kind of the beginning, that it's okay. You'll make mistakes and just keep going.
Yeah, because I mean, the pain of falling off the bike and hitting the ground, you know, eventually, like, well, if you really want to learn to ride the bike, every kid that, you know, and I was a kid in the 70s, like, we didn't even have helmets. You know, we didn't have any gear. So when we went to ride our bike, we were falling on the asphalt all the time. But we were watching Evel Knievel and was like, we want to ride bikes because we want to be like Evel Knievel. So you just like, oh, because I want to do that, I'll do it. You know, and so like, you take that thing back. I really want to do this.
Yeah.
And you have to survive the issues until I get to where I want to, like, I'm doing it.
Right. And like we started this whole thing, you were inspired to do it. I mean, quickly, a full circle that I think that with motivation, you're not always going to be motivated to do things. You need to have a discipline, like, to around your habits, your daily lifestyle, if you really want something. And it comes from being inspired. You said Evel Knievel, you were inspired to be like, man, that he is so cool. I want to do that. And you were willing and had the discipline, you know, to some extent, we all say, maybe not discipline of getting on a bike and, you know, crashing and trying, but you're willing to keep going, right? No, who's motivated to keep going and getting hurt, you know, trying to be like this other person, but you're inspired. And being inspired to do something, whether it's, we talked about art or jazz, music, anything, changing your life up maybe later in life, if you're inspired to do it, just go after it. Like that holds a ton of weight and will get you very, very far.
So I do appreciate you being here. I know your dog was having some issues. I want to give you some time to help your dog. But I want to let folks know we've got your link up, and all the links we've indicated on the show will be clickable when we're published. So if people click on your link, mate, to go to Erica Grace, what would they find?
They'll find, I have a few resources on there when it comes to mindset. I also have a mindset coaching that I do to work on people just to help them. They need a little bit more one-on-one, someone to inspire them and talk them through and coach them on techniques and how to like change their thought process daily. And then I have a few other things on there about Alzheimer's, since it's near and dear to my heart, in regards to my father and just the walk to end Alzheimer's. So just a few good resources on there that are true and dear to me.
That's awesome. So we do encourage people to click on that. They will be clickable. We're everywhere the podcast can be listened to or heard, or viewed. And we will be on all those platforms later today. We were live on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. So thank you again for being on the Family Electric Ghost podcast. It was a great conversation.
Appreciate it.
And I do encourage people to check out your links to get further details, to go further than we did today. And have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Appreciate it.